This is a Pinball News production.
I'm Steve Ritchie, and I make pinball machines. This is my life. I'm really glad to be here tonight. I love talking to pinball people. I love pinball. Can't help it. I've been making it for a long time. And I just want to say that also for that very long time, Gary Flower has been my good friend. And I just want to say thanks. Wow, it's 2011. It's like, I'll tell you, I couldn't be happier. That's the truth. I speak from the heart. I'm working at Stern, and I'm making a game that I positively love, no question. I go to work every day with a smile on my face. The place is very much different from what it was, say, a couple of years ago. We have a new leadership, we'll say, and it's shared and very interesting. And we have some very progressive people now at Stern, and they're doing a really good job to bring things forward. Also, I'm really proud and happy to be working with Lyman Sheets and Jody and everybody. Rob, our mechanical engineer, is doing a great job, and it's great to see Shelly Sachs every day, and Gary about once a week. That's when I'm off, and I like to see him. That's not true. We're not doing this anymore. We're having a good time, and we're all pulling to make Stern pinball machines, the best there is, and we're having a lot of fun. And anyway, this is like called the fireside chat, isn't it? There's no fire. Where's the fire? There is no fire. I brought some. It's cool. I brought the fire. No fire. This is cool. I have control over the fire, too. Check it out. Watch this. Watch. Ah, fire. My precious. Ah, fire. I like fire. It's kind of cool, you know. It's like... Good friend of mine. I have been a fire bug and a pyromaniac since I was a kid. But I'm kind of done with the fire. I think the fire marshal might throw me out or something. So keep that in there. Anyway. Wow. I could start with my slideshow, but there's a couple other things I want to talk about. One of them is, when I go to rec.games.pinball these days, man, there's a lot of nasty stuff there. It's like, I don't know how so many good pinball people could write so many bad things. Got to cool it with the hate. There's no reason to hate anybody. Well, there is. So I could think of a couple reasons. I guess everybody else can, too. I don't know. Anyway, I'm hoping we could, live in peace, have a good time, and make pinballs, play pinball. I'm going to take you on a little tour now. Can we bring the house lights down just a little bit? This is sort of a tour of my life, but it's like, there's a lot of other things. There's old pictures and new stuff, and I just got back from a trip to Norway where a really cool group of Norwegian pinball people. That can go too. Yeah, more down. Definitely dark. Yeah, that's more romantic. Okay. This is this first picture is of Matt Cristiano's ranch. I don't know if you guys know Matt Cristiano. Matt's a partner in Planetary Pinball, and him and Rick Bartlett have that going on. Anyway, I lived there for a long time. I lived there for about 6 months on Matt's ranch, and it was gorgeous. Could I have the next picture, please? It's the right arrow there, Gary. Thanks a lot. This man, I don't know who he is or what his name is or anything, but he is proud. He oozes pride. He's proud. That's it. Next one, please. This is Lyman Sheets, good friend and an amazing programmer, as you well know. You got to love his rules. He's packing our game with tons of stuff, and like he always does, more than I'm ever going to get to, but a lot of you guys will get there. I just make sure the front end, meaning the beginning of the game, the part that bad players have to face, is fairly decent. I like to, make a game where I can get an extra ball and get some hope. If I don't get an extra ball, I got no hope. That's how it is for me. So Lyman and I are having a great time working on the game. I don't know what that game is behind him. It's Spider-Man, that's what it is. How about the next picture, please? I call this one Punishment for Spider-Man. That's this picture. He didn't make it in the game because he died right there on that pole. That was it. So he didn't end up in the game. It's like, that is some nasty punishment, too. Okay, we have the next one. I was wandering through the factory one night, and I just saw that, in the dark. And I'm not a very good photographer, but I took the picture because it looks cool. He's kind of scary, like he's going to jump on me. And more pictures of Black Knight. I'm kind of shocked this one's here. What else you got? Oh, this is my friend Mike Redoble. He's an excitable guy. And right now he's working on a component for us. He's a great mechanical engineer. He helped out with Spider-Man. He's helping us now with our new game. This is Dennis Nordman. I don't know if you ever heard me say this before, but,
hey, Steve, I just put my hands in the snowblower.
No kidding, Dennis.
And that's for all the people. I don't want you making fun of me.
Okay, well, I'm not, Dennis, okay? Go ahead. Okay, this is a Whitewood of 24. Like I said, the pictures are all mixed up. This is probably the last picture I saw before I didn't get to work on it anymore. Next picture. This is, we have a model. It's a scale model. I'm standing on one of those red things right there, and it's like it's 10 feet long, okay? So that's how big our scale model of 24 is in the back of Stern. Go ahead. Uh-oh, dirt bike. Can't help it. Sorry. This is one of my favorites. This is a KTM 450. It's like having 1,000 horsepower in your family car. It's awesome. Please. This is a ranch house we lived at the ranch, and it's a ranch house. Beautiful country, wineries, mountains, great grape growing region. This is near Hollister, California, which is in the center of California, inland about 30 miles, Central Coast. And my good friend Jim Schoberg. This is a very old picture of him. I like it. I keep it. He's got Charlie's Angels back there. This is my friend Larry. He's great at riding a dirt bike, too. It's cool wheelies. He's going to ride it right around a corner, right here on the next slide. And, oh, broke an arm. Yeah, he crashed, broke his arm right there. Now the next one. This is my friend Larry. This is another friend Larry. I got a lot of busted up friends, okay? Dirt bikes. Yeah, if you ride them, you're going to get hurt. This is a happy Klingon. Take a look at that because you're never going to see another one. Look at that smile. That good. Nah, they're not happy. Go ahead, please. This is John Borg. You might have known. Yeah, good friend, good guy. And could we have the next slide, sir? Does anybody know what this game is? What? Did somebody say roller pile? High speed, that's right.
You blew it for me, man.
This is a very old picture of High Speed. Whitewood. I don't have very many pictures because I'm not a very good historian. I haven't kept a lot of pictures. But it's High Speed as we first made it, and it played horribly, so we redid the whole thing. Go ahead. It really did. It was nasty. This is the final version, and it was much better. Sometimes you run into trouble on a game. Sometimes you just get backed in a corner, you don't know what to do, or you do everything right, and it still plays bad, and you got to fix it. And the first version, so much was bad that, I ripped out almost everything and started over. Another old picture of High Speed. And this is Ed Boon of Mortal Kombat fame. And he's working on Black Knight 2000 on his ultra-modern portable PC back in 1988, I think. And Ed Boon's an amazing guy. He's the father of Mortal Kombat, and I'm kind of the voice of Shao Kahn. I can still do,
fight, Scorpion wins.
Anyway, it's like a goofy thing, but we had a great time working on a lot of games together. He also, he was like a grunt, someone you kick around when you're working on something, you order him around like a gopher, that's it. He was really fun to kick around. No, actually, he was a great guy, and he learned a lot, but he was a good programmer before he even got to Williams. Go ahead. This is F-14 at some show in Milan. It's a really boring picture. We have to look at the back of everybody. Why is it even there? How about the next one, sir? My good friend Roger Sharp. Well, I think I think he's my friend. I don't know if he thinks I'm his friend. I don't know. You know, it's like kind of mixed up. I haven't seen him in a long time. I know his kids better than I know. Oh, there he is, the Roger man in the back. We need a hand for Roger Sharp. All right, buddy, I'm up here to make fun of you, just to let you know, along with everyone else, and myself, an equal share of myself. This is interesting. Okay, this guy, got a cord here, I can only go that far. Okay, the guy on the far left is Hans Rosenzweig. When we were at Williams, he was our biggest customer, and he had such a, he was a very, very smart and creative guy. He often told us what we needed to do on pinball machines, and to make them better in Germany, and often they work better for us everywhere. Anyway, this is taken in Hamburg, and that's Hans Eugene Jarvis, myself. I'm not really awake because I have a problem, which I'm going to explain in a minute. And this is Joe Quadri, and he was like also a distributor there. And it's musical mics. Hey, I like it. I don't care if one works. I'm happy with it. Anyway. We left a restaurant called the Finland House, and Hans says, hey, we're going to have an after-dinner drink, and it was, he goes, have you ever had grappa before? And I said, no, what's grappa? And it's like this liqueur made of stems and seeds and the skins of grapes, and they have a lot of different kinds. And so I had a little glass, and it's like 190 proof, full-blown white lightning. That's what it is, and it burns all the way down. You go, whoa, and you go, and you get dizzy right after that. Anyway, about 5 minutes later, he orders everybody an espresso. So we have an espresso, and yeah, I'm feeling better now. And then 5 minutes after that, another grappa, and then espresso, and grappa, and espresso, and grappa, then a different kind of grappa, and espresso. So right now, I'm in the grappa mode. I get back, I go to the hotel, lay down in bed. I'm in espresso mode. Boing. Wide awake, can't sleep. Half an hour later, bang, back down to sleep. Half an hour after that, awake again. In the morning, I felt so bad, I wanted to kill him, but I didn't have the strength. So that's Joe Quadri. And Eugene, he drank the same stuff, but he went to sleep. I don't know. There's no waking that guy up. Another picture of Roger. This one's saying, why are you taking my picture? I did show this slide 2 years ago, and he goes, you should have told me, I would have shaved. Okay. I don't know. That's me, and it's like, if I had to write a caption under there, I'm bad, I'm nationwide. I don't know, something like that. Okay. This is a totally set up picture at Williams. This is Steve Kordek, my brother, and Barry. We get all dressed up at work, and somebody would come in and take pictures. And I'm working on High Speed, which was already drawn like a month before, but I have to pretend like I'm drawing. And then we have the next picture, which is you got to take that stuff off and get back to work. And this is like Steve Kordek and Barry. They're still wearing their suits, but my brother and I, we're the ones that are doing the work. Go ahead. This is my good friend Larry DeMar, and also a spectacular pinball programmer, and a good friend. And I miss him. I haven't seen him in a long time. Next picture. This is cool. This is like, I think this might be from the first Pinball Expo, but I'm not sure. That's like Pat Lawler, Ward Pemberton, Barry Osler, Joe Camico, Jim Patla. Claude Fernandez, boo, boo, boo. Okay, John Norris, Jerry Armstrong, Rob Burke, Dennis Nordman, and I. And Dennis Nordman is saying to me right there, see that chick in the third row? Mm-hmm. Yes. Next, please. This is like T2 Pinball. It's kind of a shaky picture because we're shaking with excitement. Go ahead. This one's like, I still have this shirt. It's like, yeah, I use it for a rag to polish my van, stuff like that. This is a picture of Ed Boone and I at the El Dorado arcade, which, like, you know, games there could earn, like, you know, $8,000 a week. Pretty incredible back in the day. This is around 1987, I think. Go ahead. This is more pictures of the ranch. Can I have the next one? Lots of, this is like a dry, a dry creek bed. That's what happens in California. Lakes, I mean, sorry, rivers and creeks, they go away. They just evaporate into the ground. And then after that, we have a nice sunset. Same place. This place was gorgeous. This ranch is, wow, it's like square miles. I think it's, I'm not sure how many acres, but thousands. And 7,700 acres. Yeah, I figured it out. It's like enough for 100 Disneylands or 10 Golden Gate Parks. Go ahead. this is Matt and Rick, and they're unloading all the stuff they got from, you know, all the Williams Valley materials. Back to the ranch house again. Can we go through this a little, just a little quicker? Okay, ranch pictures, another one. This is like vineyard. Okay, this is Pinthetic. The guy on the right is Pinthetic, Mario Van Cleve, probably the greatest electronic technician on the West Coast. He can fix anything that's wrong with pinball, and that's his lady, Patricia. Okay, that's Matt standing by that same place where I said there was a dry creek. Well, this is the winter, and that's what happens. It just gets blown out with water. A beautiful barn across the street from our house. And this is me leaving the ranch for the last time. I mean, we left the ranch to come to, and this is my lovely wife, Diana. And, I'm amazed she puts up with me, actually. I was, struck by the patriotism with that picture. And this place is tiny. There's population there is about 20 people in this town. Go ahead. Oh, we're back to Diana again. That's cool. And lots of grapes. A nice place to grow grapes, good wine too. And then that happened. Okay, this is at Roswell. And, it's like on my drive out here, we stopped and stopped at the UFO Museum. It was very cool. It's like a lot of people have made up a lot of things and you're supposed to believe it about UFOs. Okay, and more pictures of that same guy. It's kind of gross. Go ahead. This is some metal that's, I guess, from the weather balloon, but I'm not sure. I don't know. And, okay, now we're getting into the people at Stern. And this is Mike O'Donnell, great guy, our CFO. Go ahead. And Andrea, and next. And this is Shelley Sachs, a lovely Shelley. And we have Jim Belt. He's in the back here somewhere. He's hiding. That's what he's doing. And then we got Jody Dankberg. Jody's our man. I'm really glad he's there. It's like, this is a guy I can relate to. This is a guy who's who's bringing us forward, who's looking at licensing. And it's, I really like that. I'm always searching for new licenses. I like to know what's cutting edge and what's happening in the world. I can't always make a game about it, but I just want to know and pick the best thing that I can get. This is John Rothermel, a very fine mechanical engineer. And this is Al Dale and Sheridan Elsler, a great technician. And, of course, Gary Stern in a very good mood. I don't know why he's so happy. He usually says, get that camera out of here. Go ahead. Mike Reimer, he's right back there with his hands behind his head. Take a look at him. Let's give Mike Reimer a big hand. And he's going, WTF, never mind. Okay, here's Lonnie Ropp, another great programmer. He lives across the hall from me. Go ahead. And John Borg, that's the real John Borg. And this is Ramon and Don Thorne, the guy who's in charge of manufacturing. They both do a good job. They're dedicated to making good pinball machines, good quality stuff. I don't know her name, but she works at Stern also. Okay, this is, her name is Pardhi, P-A-R-D-H-I, I think. Nice lady, great. She's a final tester, and, well, actually she's the lead final tester, and Stern couldn't run without her. Go ahead. Another tester, and another view of the factory. This is like the sub-assembly area for those who didn't go on the tour. Go ahead. A whole load of cabinets in the back where we store them. Next. More happy people at Stern. That's about it. This is George. He's a tester. He tests every game, does a great job. And Gary. How much time do I have left? This is, time's just flying, isn't it? Let's go to the next one. This is my granddaughter. We're saving up a little money for some plastic surgery. And actually, she's a beautiful little girl. Go ahead. This is Pat Powers. And in test and service. I'm sure many of you have spoken to him. He makes me mad too, really. That's not true. He's a great guy and he's patient. You were supposed to laugh, but you didn't. That's okay. Okay, next slide. That's Andrew Pines. And this is John Borg after, well, we shared some hallucinogenics the night before. And no, that's not true. That's not true. Go ahead. Another tester. I don't know his name. There's Pedro. He's like, you know, final test master. He's the guy in the red vest. Next, please. More Tron pictures, cabinet assembly. It's interesting. I'm changing the cabinet. That's a clue. I'm changing the cabinet. Let's go. another view of a cabinet assembler. Go ahead. This guy's doing back boxes, and they're mated to the cabinet a little further down the line. Go ahead. These ladies are exceptional. They have little hands and stuff, and they're putting on the final components and making sure everything looks nice on top of the play field. Everything's properly assembled. And this is the lovely Gabby. She's our bill of materials lady. And Sheridan Elsler again. This is my bike. I love this bike. It's kind of cool. It's like I'm riding again, and I'm enjoying it. When it's warm enough, it's like it's a Suzuki DL650 with a bad name, V-Strom. What the hell is a Strom? You know, it's like V-Storm? That makes sense. I don't know. Go ahead. Looks so bad that I just took the sticker off because I don't want anybody to know that I'm riding a V-Strom. V-Strom. Strom. Strom guitar. I don't know. This is my brother and I. We rode out to Peoria, and we went to the Peoria Mile, which is like a 65-year-old race. A bunch of crazy maniacs jump on dirt bikes and go around a track wearing steel shoes on their left foot only. They get going like 120 miles an hour in the straights, and they go around the turns at 100 miles an hour, and it's like a whole series of saves. People go flying off. If you bump into anybody at that speed, they're just, it's a mass of bodies, and the ambulance comes out, and that's why we're there. Not really. Anyway, my brother also has the same bike. Here he's grumpy. I make him. I try to cheer him up, and I tell him, I want to take another picture, and this is it. Okay, next. Yeah, so he's slightly happier, okay? This is Mark Ritchie, also a game designer, and he's made a lot of great games. Go ahead. This is some pictures of Transformers. We're going to roll through these kind of quick, I think, Gary. More testers there. Again, inside the cabinet. Sometimes they have to stand up on something tall. Never mind. Okay. Go ahead. Keep going. Because I don't know. Okay, this is a bunch of back boxes and cabinets, and we do keep a stack of stuff ready to go. This is the Transformers playfield in a rack. Go ahead. More playfields. Don Thorne giving orders there. This is Iron Man cabinets. We have a storage. We got a few Spider-Man left, but I don't think we can build any more, actually. This guy's at the beginning of the line. More line views. Wow, that was fast. Okay. Go ahead. Buzz through them. That's all right. I like this one. It's kind of artsy, skewed like that. What do you think? Okay. And why did you pause at that one?
To give us some words.
You're a pig. Okay. Can we move on to the next slide? Okay. This is like the playfield assembly line. And what else we got here? More cabinet work. The Roberto man. He's great. He's definitely a great craftsman. I'd have him work on my game any day. Go ahead. More parts and people. People at Stern are great. I love walking out there because, I don't know. I just like them. I see them every day. I talk to them. And this lady also, wonderful. Anyway, nice people. I think about my responsibility to make a good game, to make sure that they can come in every day and go to work. Because if we make bad ones, if we have trouble, if we're not on the line, if I blow it, they go home and they don't get paid. And that's how it is. The factory has to work for them to get money. That was our array of microwaves. Yeah, look at that. Okay, next. This is the build-up lab. And go ahead. I'm trying to get to some of these from Norway here.
What's the game in the background with
the game in the background, I think it's called Dangling Participle, or I'm not sure. It might have been like Cheesecake Master. I don't know what game it is. Go ahead. Transformers. Yeah, keep going. Okay, this is Bob. Bob Falkowski. He's new to Stern, and great guy, good mechanical engineer. Next, and another picture of Gabby and Sheridan. Wow, I got a lot of multiples here, and then another Borg. Oh, this is cool. This is like George Gomez's desk, and it's very busy there. Go ahead. This is Mark Schoenberg, and he just left the company recently. Go ahead. I don't know why that's there. It's another picture of, what's that? That's from T3. We got a plaque when we went down there. And another picture of Lyman. Go ahead. Happier Lyman. Buzz through these. These are like things around Stern, just some odd pictures. And I don't know what that picture is. It's like, this guy's wearing a shirt that says Cool Vacker Stark Scanning. It's not cool, whatever that is. It's not cool. Now, a Vacker Stark, it can't be cool. Go ahead. Actually, this is a little town in Holland. I'm sorry, Norway. They'd kill me. It's called Sandefjord, and it was a beautiful place. They leave their games on the street. You can just come by and take one or two if you want. You know, they leave them out there, and. If you take too many, though, the cops will come and they check your van. If you got more than two games, you got to put them back. Okay, go ahead. These are some Norwegian pinball fans. That's Ole Christensen, our distributor in Scandinavia. Next. And I'm not sure what this guy's name was, but he bought me a whole bottle of cognac. It was, like, amazing. And then we drank the whole thing. I couldn't see you later. This is really cool. This is a harpoon gun. Okay, and it's for a whaling boat. They're kind of proud of it. And I said, hey, dude, you're not supposed to be hunting whales anymore. Anyway, they have the last whaling ship in Norway there. They don't really hunt them anymore, but I thought it was interesting. I want that on my game. Go ahead. That's another picture of the last whaling ship. And this is a view of Sandefjord. It's like this, a lot of rain, a lot of fog, can't see anything. So I don't think I want to live there. I don't know. And this guy's like, go ahead, next one. Those two guys are crazy. They are insane. I can't go into it. Go ahead. This is a view of almost the whole show in Norway. They have like four rows of games, and there's a stage with more games up there. It was not a big show, but it was very much fun. It was a great time. And just like pinball people everywhere in the world, good people. That is the whole show, pretty much. This is Dave Link. Dave Link is an amazing sculptor, and he's got a haunted house here in Villa Park. And can we have the next slide? And he has this van painted up, and he's also towing around this trailer, sending people there. His haunted house is supposedly, just outstanding, and I believe it. He's an amazing guy. Go ahead. Next. Yeah. Right out in front of Stern. Okay, this is my family. I don't know why, but it's kind of there. And also a couple of other boys that were around my house more than they were at home. And they're my sons, too. Go ahead. And this is a weird little horse that lived across from us. It was nice, but it was crazy. Go ahead. That's me on a dirt bike. I love to race dirt bikes, but I don't do it anymore because there's no place to do it here. Go ahead. A picture of T3. Interesting work, another race picture. This is weird. This happened in Norway, and there was a guy there, and he was drunk. Every time I went to the show, all 3 days, he was drunk. But he was a happy drunk. He was a nice guy. Steve, I love your games, whatever. Will you sign my T-shirt? So I go, sure, I'll sign my T-shirt. I'm his T-shirt, not mine. Okay, so I signed it, and... After I got back home to Chicago, I got an email from Ole, and he said, you're not going to believe this. I got to send you this picture. The guy got my name tattooed on his back. I copied the exact thing. It's like, bar out, man. Yeah. This is like a big spider. We have these in California. It's a tarantula, and I threw down my glove next to him. What they do is they just freeze in one spot, and it's a real spider, and... They just walk across the road. They don't hurt people. And this is some punk who designed pinball machines a long time ago. And didn't get enough, you know. He needs a haircut, okay? Go ahead. And that's the end of my slideshow, folks. Come on, it was too long and you know it. Anyway, we'd like to take some questions, I'd be happy to answer anything you want to know. Gary's going to relay them to me. I'm very hard of hearing. I have Meniere's disease, so I can't really hear that well, but I can hear him.
So who's going to start us off with a question? Okay, green T-shirt. What can you tell us about the theme of your next pinball?
It involves oysters and two shoestrings and a hubcap. I'll never tell. I can't tell you really anything about it. You know, it's one of those things. Right now we're building a different game, and that's what we're selling. When it's time, we'll let you know, I promise.
Okay, next. Over there in the hat.
It's Brad.
Will your next game be better than the Transformers game?
That's a loaded question. I don't have a comment. That's like a terrible thing to do to somebody. Not really terrible, Brad. I mean, I know where it comes from. You're angry at me. I am just kidding, and so are you, I hope. Okay.
Over there.
A few years ago, PBA Journal had a nice article about you and your wife when you went to Germany. So you tell us some more experiences since you've been in design and pinball.
Okay, first of all, your question's getting way too long, okay? I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
How have you been on a trip for pinball, like during the week?
I think the question is, have you got any more stories about your travels in connection with pinball?
I do, but you have to pay me. I'm not going to tell them. No, I'm just kidding. Every day of my life is a new story. A lot of them are hilarious. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a crazy business.
Evidently wants to know about stories involving your wife. He's only interested in stories about your wife.
My wife? Oh, you're
disgusting.
Is that
correct?
Not exactly what I meant, but...
That's what...
She's really... Okay.
It's about shows that you go to or traveling on pinball business and taking your wife with you. I guess, what does she think about it all?
She likes it. We have friends all over the world. It's wonderful. There's a lot of people in here that know Diana because they've come to shows where she has been. And she's an amazing lady, you know. It's like, I don't even know why she stays with me, okay? There it is.
Okay. Striped shirt. What's your brother Mark's involvement in the game you're working on now?
No, he has no involvement at all. My brother is an employee of Raw Thrills, Eugene Jarvis's video game and redemption game company. They're in Niles, and they have an office at Play Mechanics in Glen Ellen. So I see him pretty often. I haven't seen him in a while, though, because we're both going crazy working on projects. He's a producer there.
Do you discuss game ideas with Mark?
Yes, often.
And have you discussed anything in connection with the game you're working on now?
Sure. We've talked about it. A lot of things that we, you know, with this game, with this title, it's pretty obvious what I needed to do. So we talk about it.
Can you, talking about World Poker Tour,
yeah,
a feature that was taken out called the Iceberg, could you tell us about that, please?
The Iceberg?
Centerpiece moving up and down in the middle of the playfield.
This is a figment of someone's imagination. Oh, no, he's lying. Where's Keith? I know he's here, and I know he's lying, and he knows he's lying. No, the Iceberg. I have no idea what you're talking about, honestly, because I'd be happy to talk about it. Not that I don't know. I was not in love with making World Poker Tour. It's not a Steve Ritchie theme. It's like they told me to make it, okay? And I wasn't going to get the gig if I didn't. So I did it. I don't remember anything about an iceberg. I do remember a thing we called the boat anchor, some mechanism that a guy made it weighed about 40 pounds, and I was never, ever going to put it on my pinball machine. And he sort of did it on his own, and maybe that's what it's being confused with. I'm not sure.
Was the Boatanka related to World Poker Tour?
Ask again.
Was the Boatanka thing connected to World Poker
No,
Tour?
It was just, you know, some independent work that a mechanical engineer did there, making a device, and it was like, you know, huge, awkward, and about $2,000 to manufacture.
A guy on the aisle with glasses. Of all the games you've ever designed, what's your favorite?
Well, I have quite a few favorites. I loved working on Black Knight 2000, and I loved working on Star Trek The Next Generation because they're the most elaborate games. We got 14 months to do the games, and in the case of Star Trek The Next Generation, we got all the characters from the show. We were able to tell a great story. A story that was totally engaging, and I do like that kind of game. The same thing with Black Knight. Black Knight 2000, we created that character, but the music and the songs and vocals and some of the rules just made it more exciting. I like communicating to the player like that. I wish I had enough time to make every game that elaborate.
Okay, so was that Black Knight and Black Knight 2000 you were talking about there?
Have we talked about it?
No. Were you initially talking about Black Knight, and then you talked about Black Knight?
No, Black Knight 2000.
It's all Black Knight 2000.
I like making Black Knight, but I mean, the more elaborate games are Black Knight 2000 and Star Trek. They just, you know, told stories. We had time to really expand on them and make them extremely entertaining.
Right, thanks. Okay, your favorite games from other designers?
Oh, wow. Okay, from my brother, Indiana Jones. Wow, George Gomez, Lord of the Rings, Jim Patla, Mata Hari, Dennis Nordman, Whitewater. I'm thinking Hollywood Heat, John Trudeau, and I'm thinking Captain Fantastic from Greg Kamik, and let's see. Gary Gayton's made some games that I love too, but I can't think of them. Centaur was awesome. From Barry Osler, I really like Comet in the day. It was awesome. And who did I miss? From John Papaduke. Definitely Theater of Magic. Awesome machine. Fun to play.
You've not mentioned Pat Lawler.
Say it again.
What about the games from Pat Lawler?
Oh, Pat Lawler. I liked Addams Family very much, and Twilight Zone definitely.
Okay.
Very elaborate, nice games.
A couple of years ago, there's no way any of us would have ever expected to see you back at Stern. Can you share a little bit about how this new reconciliation happened? Because it's really neat to see.
Okay. The question is about after what happened a couple of years ago. We're surprised to see you back at Stern. Would you like to talk a little about the reconciliation?
Sure. Gary and I talked, and let's just say we cleaned up old business, and it's been, great. We are showing each other much more respect than we did before, and I can say that it feels great to be back. I mean, like I said, I smile on my way to work every day. I'm happy to get there, you know, charge into it with, like, you know, full throttle. Wah. That's how we like to work. And I don't know. It's getting really exciting. Parts are starting to come in now. I mean, I have a prototype, but some of the real stuff, you know, the finished things are coming in, and I'm very excited. I can't wait to put it together and get it out to you.
Okay, I've been handed notes, and we've got another 5 minutes, so hopefully we can pack a few more questions in. Any more? Over there? If you were looking back over your catalogue of games, is there anything you would do differently? Any changes you would like to make to the games that are already out there from you?
Well, not really. I don't know. It's like maybe I should have, you know. Well, at the beginning of Stellar Wars, I made this playfield, and I kind of agonized over it, and Williams wanted it right away. I just finished Flash, and they wanted another game right now. Okay, so I went into this wide body thing, and I cranked it out, and I put it in a cabinet and played it, and it was absolutely horrible. So I kind of looked at it, and I thought, I'm gonna come back in the morning and see how I feel about it. And when I came back in the morning, there was a spell out in it on the letters in front of all the drop targets, and it spelled pigs in space. The rest of the guys thought it was a pile, too. So I picked up the whole thing, threw it in the garbage. But then I made another pass, and it was like I was in such a hurry that I was never happy with the game, just never very happy with it. And especially this plunger shot that just launched the ball around the top of the play field and straight down to the left flipper, and it was like, it was cruel. We sold a good number of them, though. I was amazed. Wide bodies are tough to make because it's hard to get the geometry just right on a wide body. There's a lot of that going on. Dave Marston's going like this. He's right. You know, I did close up the slingshots on mine, but then you have a bunch of drain lanes, and maybe they're not all drain lanes. You have at least two. Generally speaking, it's tough to get ball time right on a wide body. And generally speaking, it's tough to make shots, you know, that that come back to the player often enough to flip. I mean, a good wide body might take six or seven flippers on the main play field. And that would be easy. It would be easier to build a game like that so you could have different play centers around the universe.
Okay. Any more questions? Yep. Phoebe?
Okay, so Phoebe's asking about your next game, and she understands that you can't give any detail about what's on the playfield,
yeah.
But can you give a...
But it's Phoebe, so I have to tell something.
Absolutely. And specifically, can you give us a timeline for when we'll get to see the game?
Right around the 35th day of Kuna Konda. It's coming up. It's a celebration. It's coming. I really don't know. It depends on the way things go at the factory. I'm definitely next. I can say that. And we're very excited. We're making a lot of changes to a lot of different areas, including areas we haven't touched in a long time. And
okay, we've got a couple more people asking questions. Doc Pinball says, you're changing the shape of the cabinet for the next game. Does that mean it's a wide body?
I never said I'm changing the shape of the cabinet. The cabinet is...
Does that
is
mean
like,
it's not a wide body?
What? I'm not changing the shape of the cabinet. That would be silly. The cabinet is like pretty much, well, we're down to the lowest common denominator. I mean, a pinball cabinet is what it is because it's practical, it holds the game together, it's strong, and it's like not too expensive, but still, it's expensive. It costs a lot of money to make things out of plywood. You know, most people use crap, and we don't. Our cabinets are still strong. I'm proud of them, but it's like, I got to tell you, a million experiments have been done with cabinets. Like, at one time, Williams made a metal cabinet. It was hilarious because they put it out on test, somebody kicked it, it's got a big dent in the side, and they got to take it to a body and fender shop to fix it. You don't just whip out a felt pen and, oh, I'm going to clean that up, you know. Big old dent, it was nasty. Plus, it's like, you know, you want to burn down the arcade, all you have to do is drop one wire, 50 volts, let it sit there and melt. Any wood parts will burn. So cabinets, fiberglass, otherwise they just don't do anything. They have never made a game earn one dime more. So some people really believe that making a different cabinet, a prettier cabinet, will make a difference, but it doesn't. It's all about what's in the cash box. It may make a difference in the future to collectors. If you guys buy, like, if you decide one day that pinball production at Stern needs to go up to 25,000 machines, we welcome you. We want you to buy a game. We want you to buy 10 games a year, please, each and every one of you. Thank you. And then we will make a new cabinet, flashy cabinet, maybe out of fiberglass.
Okay, we've got time for one last question, and I think that honor goes to you in the green stripy shirt. The question is, do you think you'll ever work on an unlicensed game? Is that right?
Do I ever think I'll work on an
unlicensed game?
I sure hope so. I got one in mind, and it sort of is a license already. You know, it's like, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think we have to feel confident that the pinball market is there for us, and then we can sell a goodly number of them. Building pinball machines for you guys and for everybody in the world is what makes it go around at Stern. If we're not building machines and selling them, there can't be any pinball. That's the bottom line. So I'm not really, you know, it's not something that, how do I want to say it? I just want to say that I'm not pushing them. I'm just saying, you know, if we're gonna survive and expand and grow, we need to grow the pinball buying marketplace also.
Okay, and on that note, I'd like to ask you to join me in not just thanking Steve for being here tonight, but thanking him for all the great games he's given us in the past and all the great games we can look forward to in the future.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. I love being here, and I love pinball. Good to see all of you. Thanks for coming.